Hello. Do you ever wonder how you do what you do? What you do well, what you do badly? Remember we talked about Milton Erickson when we were talking about the Milton model and about how he didn't know how he did until he read how he did it, because Bandler and Grinder had modeled his behavior. They'd taken apart the processes that he used, the thought processes, and were able to then copy those themselves. And in NLP terms, NLP has stolen the word strategy again and made it their own, reinterpreted the word strategy. And in NLP terms, the word strategy just means a process that you go through to do whatever it is that you do. And we have strategies for everything that we do. We have a getting up in the morning strategy. We have a going to bed at night strategy. We have a not getting up in the morning strategy. We have a picking people up in bars or being picked up in bars. We have a buying strategy. We have selling strategies. We've got strategies for everything that we do. And we've learned these processes throughout our lives, through our own experience. And so these become the behavior, the programs that we run internally when we react to a certain situation. So what we're going to do in this session is we're going to look at what strategies are, and we're going to talk about the Tote model of strategies. We're also going to look at how we can elicit other people's strategies, how we can understand how people do what they do, because there are some real powerful ways of using that information. So, for instance, if we have an unhelpful strategy, we can change it. If we know what it is, if we take it out of our unconscious and make it conscious, we can adapt the way that we react to certain situations to get a different result. It also means that we can influence people by pacing and leading them more effectively, because if we understand what their buying strategy is, then we can map our selling strategy over their buying strategy so that we can sell to them in the way that they're bought to. That's a phrase. We can sell to them in the way that they buy. It also means that if we can understand what people do who are brilliant at what they do, it means that we can almost install their strategies in us so that we can find the best way of behaving to get the results that they get so we can get similar results ourselves. And that really is at the basis and at the center of NLP. It's about modeling. It's about understanding how people do things who are brilliant and copying that and installing that into our own unconscious so that we can be better at what we do. So that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to introduce you to the Tote model of strategies first, then we'll look at how we can elicit other people's strategies. So strategies are how we do what we do. And the Tote model, which I'll just bring up here now, the Tote model of strategies doesn't have anything to do with handbags or horse racing. And it stands for test, operate, test, exit. And so this is the model essentially. So the first test is when we're going about our daily life, we're testing the external environment and the internal environment to a degree to understand and look for triggers. So look for things that are going to trigger us to run a particular strategy. So let's use an example that we have a shoe buying strategy, because we do, and we all have a shoe buying strategy. It might be very different for different people. And so as we're walking down the street, we're unconsciously scanning the outside environment, the outside world, and we suddenly see a shoe shop sign. So that's the initial test. The trigger is there for us to operate. So the operate bit is the actual strategy. It's the process that we go through when we buy shoes. And that can be very simple or it can be very complex. So for this example, let's make it quite simple. Let's say that your shoe buying strategy is see it, try it on, like it, buy it. It can be as simple as that. The next step is the test. So that's like an internal question that says, have I achieved the outcome or not? And so as you're trying shoes on, if you don't like them, what you'll do is you'll loop back round to look for other shoes to try on. So the test, operate, test, have I achieved the outcome or not? The answer is no, go back round the loop again. If the answer is yes, then you exit. You exit the shop, but you also exit the strategy with your shoes in hand. And it can be as simple as that. The important bit for us is the operate bit in the middle. That's the bit that we really need to focus on. So your shoe buying strategy might be quite simple. See it, try it, like it, buy it. As simple as that. The problem with strategies is that some strategies are helpful and effective. Some strategies are unhelpful and effective. And some strategies might be helpful but ineffective. So let's give an example around that. So let's say that your shoe buying strategy is very effective. So you walk in there and you always walk out with a pair of shoes, but it's unhelpful because you can't get into your house because the house is so full of shoe boxes. Let's say that your strategy is helpful but ineffective. So it would be helpful to buy a pair of shoes, but actually you're not very good at buying shoes and you always walk out of the shoes without the shop, without a pair, new pair of shoes in your bag. So perhaps we need to adjust that strategy. Perhaps we need to adjust the effective but unhelpful one. And some strategies are both helpful and effective. So that's good. If a strategy is unhelpful but ineffective, it's probably okay just to ignore it because it doesn't work anyway, even though it's unhelpful. And the problem with that, it's not just about buying shoes. Strategies affect every aspect of our lives. So when we first got married, my wife Fiona ran Women's Refuge. And she was on call 24/7. So we would get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning for somebody who was a victim of domestic violence and wanted to get into the refuge. So Fiona would have to go and let the woman in and her children, find them beds and so on and set them up. And what would happen quite often is that within a few days, they would go back to their partner. And then maybe a few weeks later, the same thing would happen again. We'd get a phone call and Fiona would have to go and let them into the refuge and find them beds and so on. Now, at the time, I hadn't come across NLP at the time. I was just so frustrated. And I mean, obviously, I wanted her to be in a different situation with a different outcome. But my view was, why don't she just leave? Of course, it's not that simple. Why don't she just leave? Or if she did leave and then she found another partner, she would very often find herself in a second abusive relationship and would be back in the refuge. And I'd be like, why doesn't she just find the right person, find somebody nice? There's lots of decent people around there. The reality is that her finding somebody to love strategy was very effective, but it wasn't helpful in the sense that the people that she found weren't helpful or good people in the sense that it was going to be a good relationship. So if people could help her, or if she could change her strategy, then maybe it would now become helpful and effective rather than effective and unhelpful. I hope this is making sense. So the point about this is that we need to understand what strategies are and what that process that people go through to make a choice and make a decision so that we can help them adapt it or adapt ourselves to match their strategy or understand what they do so that we can copy it ourselves. So the way that we do this is by talking to somebody. The way that we do this is by eliciting their strategy. It's about understanding how they do what they do. So we have to have a conversation with somebody. And that conversation can be quite simple in the sense that if we're looking at somebody's car buying strategy, we might say, okay, so take me through when you last bought a car. How did you decide to buy it? What did you do? Then what did you do? Then what did you do? What happened next? How did you decide? And how did you feel at the end? The problem with doing this is that people give you lots of information during that kind of conversation, and writing it all down can be very difficult. Because if you're writing stuff down, you're missing what people are saying. So what we need to do is to find a shorthand way of writing down the key elements of somebody's strategy. And this is how we do it. We need to look at the elements of somebody's strategy. And every strategy will be combined or composed of the same elements, but in different orders and in different situations and so on. But essentially, remember how we talked about representational systems, and we said that the way that we interact with the world is through the senses, but we also represent the world through the senses when we think about the world internally. So when we're going through a process, we use those representational systems to go through the process. So we think in terms of pictures and sound and so on. So we have visual elements to a strategy. Now, a visual element to a strategy can be internal or it can be external. So for example, if your shoe buying strategy set is I look at the shoe, that's visual external because it's outside of your head. If you then think, I picture myself walking down the street in the new pair of shoes, then that's internal. And you're also constructing that rather than remembering it. So it's an internal visual element because you're picturing yourself wearing something. Then we have the auditory element, and auditory can be internal or external. So you can be talking to yourself. You can have an internal dialogue. Or it can be external in the sense that you're talking to the salesperson or to somebody else. You're having a conversation or a discussion with them. And there can be kinesthetic elements. And kinesthetic is slightly different in that it can be internal or external kinesthetic. So in the sense that it can be internal in terms of a feeling. So I feel happy, or I feel angry, or I feel sad, or I feel pleased or ecstatic. Or it can be external in the sense that if you're trying a pair of shoes on, or you're test driving something, or you're touching something and picking it up, then that's external. The difference between kinesthetic and visual and auditory is that it can also be positive or negative. So you can have a positive feeling or a negative feeling to it. So they're the key elements in a strategy. Now, I know that in the rep systems, we've got olfactory and gustatory. We've also got digital. And olfactory and gustatory can play a part in strategies, although probably less of a part in some than others. So if you're thinking about buying food, let's say if you're thinking about buying cheese, then smell and taste is probably quite important in that. But if you're buying a car, smell might be important because you want it to smell like a new car. But taste probably isn't, unless you want to lick the upholstery to see what it tastes like, which I haven't come across anybody who actually wants to do that. The digital element is about logic and sense and data in a sense. So you might use the digital element in a strategy in the sense of, you know, I'm looking at the spec sheet for the car that I'm going to buy, or I need to sort out the insurance because it makes sense to sort that out before I buy it. So that might be part of that overall strategy. So we've got to capture all of that key information in shorthand. And the way that we do that is we start with the main elements. So we've got V for visual, A for auditory, K for kinesthetic, and then we break it down into smaller detail. So let me just take you through what those elements are. These are the key strategy elements of visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, and the breakdown so that we can shorthand capture what people were talking about at the time. I'll give you an example in a couple of minutes so that you'll see how this all works. But essentially, we've got V for visual, A for auditory, K for kinesthetic. And then we can break those down into more detail. So we have visual internal. So if you picture yourself with the shoes, that's visual internal. Visual external is I'm looking on the internet, or I'm going into a shoe shop to look at them. We've also got visual internal remembered. So we're remembering what they looked like the last time we saw them, or internal constructed. So again, imagining what it's going to feel like. I've never seen the shoes before, but they must look a bit like this. And then we've got the visual digital. So this is about looking at information about the shoes or the car, the spec sheets and so on, or the price. And the same thing through auditory. The difference being we've got that kind of big difference down at the bottom there between auditory digital and auditory tonal. And tonal is about conversation. It's about language. And digital is about sense, about logic, and about data. And kinesthetic, again, we've got KI for internal, KE for external, and then we've got the same elements there, except at the bottom, we've got the kinesthetic positive and the kinesthetic negative. So that negative feeling or that positive feeling. And I'm sure this is looking quite confusing at the moment. So let's look at a kind of simple example, and we'll codify it, if you like, shorthand as we go along, and then you can get an understanding of how that all works in terms of eliciting and why we would do it in that way instead of writing it all down in longhand. So let's have a look at that. So let's pick a fairly typical example. Let's think about buying a car. Lots of us have bought cars in the past. And if you think about the last time that I bought a car, the first thing that happened was, how did I decide it was time to buy a car? I decided it was time to buy a car because my car was getting a bit old. It was going to start costing us lots of money. It made sense to buy a car before it got to a point where it was costing a huge amount of money or it was irreparable. So there was a logic in the decision to buy a new car. So that's that digital internal conversation. So then what I did was I had a look on the internet, and I looked around the local car dealers to see what they had on offer. I also then had to think about, I looked at, you know, that initial kind of, oh, that'd be nice, that'd be lovely, oh, look at that, it'd be great to have that sort of car. I then went back and thought about, okay, how much have I got? What do I really want the car for? So then it kind of gave me a limit of how much I could spend, and I knew that I wanted an estate, a five-door estate, because I got carry band equipment around in it and hockey kit and a dog and all kinds of stuff. So then I had another trawl around, again, around the internet and around local car dealers. I found one that I liked the look of. I spoke to the car dealer, so that's an auditory external, about taking it out for a test drive and whether it was available. I'll put this down here because it's just easier. So I took it out for a test drive. So there's that kinesthetic external. And I liked it. And that's a kinesthetic internal because it's an emotion and it's positive because it was a positive feeling. And because I liked it, I had another conversation with the car sales guy and we started a negotiation. And as part of that negotiation, I asked and I found out about the details around the finance, whether we were going to be able to afford the repayments, what the spec of the car was. We talked about warranty and so on. And once I'd done that, I actually bought the car and I liked it. And all sales or purchases will end on a positive K, so a positive feeling from it. There might be buyer's remorse when you get home, but at that initial point, you will like what it is that you've bought. So that's my car buying strategy. Looks a bit complicated in that sense, but what it has done is capture each of the steps that I went through. So why would I write it down in that? Why would I not write it down in longhand as we're having a conversation? Because as a car salesman, I guess it would be useful for me to understand what somebody's buying strategy was, because that would mean that I can map my sales strategy over their buying strategy. Because most of us have a way of selling, which may work most of the time, but not necessarily all of the time. And I remember doing this particular exercise on a course once with a lady who said, I went to buy a BMW. I really wanted a BMW. So I went to this garage and I walked in and the salesman kind of just pops up from behind the car like Mr. Ben, you know, like the shopkeeper in Mr. Ben, and said, yeah, can I help? And he said, well, I'm looking for a car. And he said, we've got a really good deal on at the moment. We can give you some good finance, free insurance for the first 6 months. And we can put some servicing in there as well. And she said, I just turned around and walked out. I said, I bet you bought the same car from somewhere else. And she said, yeah, I did actually. So what was the difference? She said, well, the next place I went into, the guy said, oh, just have a look around. If there's anything that you're interested in, just come and find me. I'll be over here. If you want to take anything out for a test drive, take it out for a test drive, and then we can have a conversation about it afterwards. Can you see the difference? Her buying strategy was very much around visual external, kinesthetic external positive, auditory external, and then digital, and then buy it. So very similar to mine in a sense. But what the first guy did was the complete opposite. He started with the digital before he got onto anything else. And so it threw her out. So there is a way of interrupting people's strategies that breaks down that whole process. If you get it wrong, then people walk away. The second guy naturally had a sales approach that matched her buying style. So she bought the car. Now, it might be difficult at the start of a situation like selling a car to somebody to say, well, okay, tell me your buying strategy. But you can have a conversation about, okay, so what have you got at the moment? All right, okay, so where did you buy that from? Right, and how did you decide to buy that car? Okay, so if you want to just, and so you can elicit people's buying strategy during a conversation. The difficulty is that if you were sat writing all of that down, that would be really complicated because the first thing that you're doing when you're writing everything down is you're breaking eye contact. And so you're breaking rapport, and rapport is really important, as we said before. Now, I know that by writing, an A on the screen, I've got to break eye contact briefly, but then I can get back to it again. The other thing is that this, although it's a shorthand, each one of those letters is an anchor for the thought behind it. So because you've been concentrating on the person as they've been talking, when you write that letter down, you remember what it meant when it's time to kind of reflect it back to somebody. And it's worth trying that out. Just have that conversation, have an exercise where you go through somebody's buying strategy and kind of elicit it, write it down in that shorthand. The more that you use that shorthand, the easier it becomes. So you do need to practice it, but it can be really, really powerful and really helpful in terms of eliciting somebody's strategy. Because at the point when you've elicited it, then you've got the opportunity to do something with it. But you can't do it if you don't have the information in the first place. Another way to do this, of course, is not to write anything down at all, but to watch people's eye movements. Remember eye accessing cues. People, when you talk to them, think about when you last bought a car. Oh, yeah, okay. So would you like to go and have a look around at some before, because I've just seen that you've done a visual remembered, and so you probably want to look at things before you go through the internal dialogue or the digital or the element, whatever it may be in that process. So it sounds a little complex, but like everything else, in that covert way, you need practice. If you're doing it in an overt way, so trying to help somebody change a strategy or help yourself change a strategy, then you can be much more overt. You can have that conversation. You can write the words down. You can put the whole strategy together and then try reflecting it back to somebody so that you can see that you've got it right. So really useful technique and helpful in lots of different ways. So worth trying it out. As I said at the start of this, we have strategies for everything that we do, and it's worth understanding what those strategies are. If they're not helpful, we can change them. If we don't know what they are, we can't do anything about it. As I said right at the start, if you're not aware of something, you can't influence it. So have a think about strategies, explore them, play with them, see what you can do in terms of changing them. And I'll look forward to seeing you next time.